Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Let's all pray together for just a minute. Lord, we thank you for our gathering together this morning. Thank you because of your presence here. As it is written and spoken by the Lord, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So we thank you. We give you praise and glory, Lord. As always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And somebody says, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. I have got to share a sobering message with us this morning. I pray that we all pay attention. You know, messages such as this, a devil would like to distract you so that you don't listen, you know, one thing or the other. But we got to listen. And your participation in the message is important. Engagement, really, is what it is. Praise God. Today, the message is titled, and it's going to be more than just a message. I want to engage you. When the rapture takes place, nothing else will matter. That's the message that I want to speak on today. When the rapture takes place, nothing else will matter. So let's talk about it and take it from the beginning. The rapture, the message of the rapture, the translation of the church, is not a myth. You know, it's not a metaphor. I mean, it's not an idea. It's not a symbolic event that is going to happen. You know, it's a literal event that is going to happen. And I'm going to be talking to us about today. As a matter of fact, you know, as you and I should be concerned, you know, it should be the next major, major prophetic moment in God's calendar for us. I mean, I'm not talking about what's happening with, you know, the Jewish nation and so forth. I'm talking about what's happening with the church. You know, the most significant and the most momentous prophetic event is about to happen. And it's called the rapture, or the translation of the church. Now, here are some things that I want to talk about right away. It's like an opener, and then I'll tell you more about it. See, when the rapture takes place, all earthly priorities will mean nothing. Once the rapture takes place, priorities, you know, will instantly collapse. Instantly. I want you to think about that. You know, there's going to be only one question when the rapture takes place. The question will be, were you ready? Because it'll be in the past then. Now, as we are looking forward to the rapture, the question is, am I going to be ready? Because once the rapture takes place, it's going to be a matter of, were you ready when it took place? Because that's it. Now let's talk about what the rapture is. It's called the blessed hope. Titus 2 and 13. It says, we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope for the believer, you know. It'll happen, you know, quickly, and I'm going to tell you about that. Everything, this is the opener of the message, everything we're currently chasing, the things that we've set our heart on, if they're not the things of God, you know, even things you argue about, things you fight about, you know, things we cling to, all these things, they will instantly not matter anymore. Instantly. For those that make it in and for those that are left behind, it's the same thing. Now, when people die, like, you know, just physical death, things change, you know. For the person that has died, if they went to be with the Lord, nothing else matters. But for the people that are left behind, that lost their loved one, a lot of things matter. There's a lot of change in their lives and different things, the family logistics and so forth, family dynamics, rather, and so on. Now, in the case of the rapture, though, when that happens, it's like nothing else is going to matter. Now, for those who, for whatever reason or the other, have heard about the message of the rapture, and then they find that they are left behind, nothing else is going to matter. The only thing that will be happening then is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, well, why are you preaching a message like this on the church? What should be a joyful day? Well, this is a message of preparation. Be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as you think not is when the Son of Man is going to come all over the earth. Just think about it. It could come in the midst of the World Cup, when there's hundreds of thousands of people watching. It could come in the midst of the Summer Olympics, when the whole world is gathering. I mean, there may be something that is going on that will make everybody to be caught unawares. Because he said, in the hour that you think not, that's when the Son of Man will come up, will just show up. And then, what's going to happen? Well, let's talk about it. Jesus said, what, Mark 8 and 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? That's verse 36, Mark 8, 36. What will profit a man, anyone, if you shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? The losing of the soul is when people find out that, wow, you know, I miss the thing that they've been talking about. You know, there will be a great shift in thinking. The priorities that we were chasing, you know, will not matter. You know, if the reason why someone will not be prepared is because they're chasing some world recognition, some title, some accolade, some whatever, it'll instantly vanish. Instantly. I'm going to talk to you about, you know, some things here. First of all, I want to say a few things about the rapture. The rapture is a certain event. It is certain. It's not something that we hope or guess or whatever will happen. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. I want to move through this message very quickly. In the book of a couple of places, John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, I will come again. That's right. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be there also. Jesus said that point blank. Then we see in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, we see this statement as well. This same Jesus, whom you see now taken away from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. So, it is certain. It is an event that is going to happen. That's number one. Number two, it will be sudden and unexpected. You know, even though people have been talking about it, it's just like the coming of Christ the first time when he was born as a baby. People knew he was coming. In fact, you know, when Herod asked, where will he be born? They went and searched the scriptures. And they found, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that he will be born in Bethlehem. They found it. But thou, Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, though thou be the smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that will be governor. Hallelujah. You know, ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old. From everlasting. So they knew. They knew that Jesus was coming. Well, a few people were actually waiting for the consolation of Israel. One or two people were praying all the time. The Lord revealed to them that they will not see death until they have seen the Lord's Christ. And they are praying, they are praying. Majority of the people, despite the fact that they knew, the scribes, the Pharisees, and everything, they knew, you know. And those scribes and Pharisees, they knew the scriptures of Isaiah, even when Jesus stepped up and opened the scriptures, went, took it, synagogue, opened the pictures, and read the place where it was written of him. They were there. They saw all of that. But still, they didn't realize that he was the Christ. Okay. That's one thing that happened back then. Now, this time around, it's going to happen also. It'll be sudden. It'll be unexpected. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Suddenly. Suddenly. And the scriptures talk about many of these things. Jesus himself was talking about it. He said, look, you know, the Son of Man is coming. He's coming. He can come in the fourth watch, fifth watch, third watch, or whatever. Be ready. Because you don't know. They're telling them. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, he says, in an hour that you think not, that's when the Son of Man is going to come in. It's going to be coming. That means you're not thinking about it. You're not expecting it in that moment. Even though you know he's coming, you've kind of heard about it, you know he's coming and so forth. But it'll catch most people unawares. But Paul said, look, you shouldn't really catch you unawares because we are not of the night. So it shouldn't really catch you unawares. But it's going to catch most people unawares, believe it or not. You know, now, the other thing about, so the first thing is certain. The second thing is it's going to be sudden. It's going to be just happen when people are not expecting it. You know, even though people might know the generation, like us now, you know, people in my generation, we have been expecting the coming of the Lord, not just academically. We were really expecting the coming of the Lord, you know, since the 70s. That was 50 years ago. Paul was expecting the coming of the Lord. I don't know how many years ago it was. So we, which are alive and remain, he put himself in the we. He was thinking the Lord will come. You know, we've been talking about it. And even now we're saying the signs are all around us. Even the signs of the Christ system, all these things are all around us. Yeah, but despite the fact that we're saying all this, it will still come. The next thing about the rapture is that when it happens, I've already talked about some things about the rapture. It is certain. It's going to happen. The next thing is, it's going to be unexpected. The third thing is,
when it happens, it'll be final. There will be no negotiation. There will be no pleading. There will be no time for repentance. It'll be suddenly and it'll be too late. Now, Jesus told a parable in Matthew 25. The lesson of that parable about the wise and foolish virgins, the lesson is not so much as, let us break it down. And this is what people do when they read that parable. We break it down. The wise mean this. The foolish mean that. The oil means this. The lamp means that. And all of that. Well, that may be all true. But that was not the lesson. The lesson is at the end of it. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in an hour that you think not. Well, what happened? Well, you know the story, so I won't spend the whole time reading. But I do want to tell you that the ones that were not ready, see, they were not ready. When they started to scramble, the wise said, go get for yourself. Because that's why they were wise. Yeah, wise. Not going to let somebody else's unpreparedness become their own issue. You know, no. You know, it's not. We won't have enough for we for ourselves and you. So you go get for yourself. Now, while they were scrambling in the last minute, which they should have gotten earlier, then the master came. And once the door was shut. Now, listen to this. Let me read it to you in Matthew chapter 25. You know, once the door was shut, then they began, then these people came. And say, open unto us, they knocked the door. And he said, no, I don't even know where you are from. See. Now, why? Well, because as far as Jesus is concerned, you know, it didn't matter whether they knew the Lord or they didn't know the Lord. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters if you miss it. It's the same result. It's as if he never knew you. It doesn't matter, you know, because they missed it. And these were people that were on a journey. They were on a journey. They, at one time, they actually knew that the bridegroom was coming. At one time, they knew it, you know. But because the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, including the wise and including the foolish, you know. Now, these people were not foolish because they did not take oil in their lamps. This is the way we think. They think, oh, they were foolish. It's not a one incident thing. They were not foolish because they did not take oil. They did not take oil because they were foolish. See, that's it. You know, it was a lifestyle. You know, they were careless about the things of God. They did not prepare. It wasn't the fact that they didn't take oil that made them foolish. It was the fact that they were foolish that made them to not take oil. And it wasn't the oil that these other people took that made them wise. It was the fact that they were already wise that made them to know that they needed to take extra oil. You know. And they all actually slept. It's kind of like you're going on a trip. I mean, just because your flight is going to be at 8 a.m. in the morning, doesn't mean you can't sleep in the night. You can still sleep very well in the night if you have been prepared. You know, I mean, maybe you spent 1 hour one month preparing for the journey. You've got your passport, you got everything, you got your tickets, you got your luggages packed, you got everything. Then the night before, you can still go to sleep. They went to sleep, but they got up. Now, if you were not prepared for that journey, and you get up at 5 a.m. for an 8 o'clock flight, you're already late because you're not even prepared. You know, and then you begin to scramble. These people were, some of them were prepared, some of them were not prepared. The message, though, was that, you know, be ye therefore also ready. Because if you scramble at the last time, you know, you might not make it. So, when it happened, though, these people came. And they began to plead, Lord, Lord, open unto us. That's why they were pleading, that the Lord should open unto them. So when the rapture takes place, it'll be final. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, verses 10 to 12. I want to read that. Read it, give it to me from verse 10. Now, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, the part of this message today is that the door was shut. At one point in time, the door was shut. Afterwards also came the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And then what he responded to them was, no, I don't know you. You know. Then verse 13, let's keep reading. Verse 13 therefore says, give me verse 13. Watch ye therefore. This is the lesson of that whole parable. It's not about dissecting what the lamp means and what the oil means. No, this is the lesson. The lesson is watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That's the lesson. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 13 and verse 25, give me Luke 13 and 25. Jesus says, look, once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and trying to negotiate and plead, no. So that's why I say it'll be final. Begin to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer, I say, I know you not whence you are. Where you're from, I don't know you. So it'll be final. There will be no pleading. There will be no, oh, let me now repent. There'll be no, let me now do this. Now, let me tell you some other things. Like I said before, the priorities that we had before, they will suddenly collapse. For the people that missed the rapture that should have been there, it's not going to matter. Nothing else will matter. Then the Bible says, look, set your affection, Colossians 3, and two, set your affection on things above. Now, when we set our affection on all these things we are purchasing, let me tell you the things that will not matter. Your careers will not matter. Your position in life will not matter. Your money will not matter. Your, you know, now, even some of the other things, the grudges that you are holding against somebody. Look, you didn't release that. That may be the reason why you miss it. And it won't matter at that time. If they are gone and you are behind, what's going to matter? You know, your ambitions, whatever we are chasing, entertainment, politics, all these things, they will not matter anymore. One thing is going to matter is, were you ready? Did you make it? Or are you now faced with weeping and gnashing of teeth? Because, you know, the people that will be weeping and gnashing their teeth, they're not going to be the unbelievers. The unbeliever, they will find some reason to try to explain it. The news will find some reason. Some news will carry it correctly. But some news will find some reason to try to say, yeah, no, it's not like that. Yeah. But there are people of the church and churches, when they now remember who, head, and say, this is what they have been telling us. Those people will be weeping and having gnashing of teeth. Because anything else that made such a person to miss it will not matter. It will not matter at that time. Now, you are faced with the dreaded Antichrist system. Now, the rapture is God's divine plan for a divine evacuation. Evacuation. Is not we're afraid. No. But God has not appointed us unto wrath. And Jesus said, pray that you may escape. If there is no escape, there will be no reason for us to pray. And Jesus wouldn't tell us to pray. God doesn't tease us with ask for things that he's not going to give you just to make you ask so that he will say no. What kind of nonsense is that? No. God says, pray Watch ye therefore and pray always. Give me Luke 21 and 36. Watch ye therefore and you pray always, so that you may be accounted worthy to escape. There are some people that will be counted worthy. I pray that you and I will be counted worthy in Jesus' name to escape. Now, if we don't escape, nothing else will matter. You know, nothing else will matter. Let me tell you that the separation also, this evacuation, is going to be precise. Precise! You can't wangu your way. No. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verses 40 and 41, two women will be, this is it, boom! One is taken. Two, maybe, boom! One is taken. It'll be precise. You know, and the Lord will be calling for it. There is nothing you can do at that time. You can't do anything. You can't argue. You can't plead. You know, it's too late. So this is the hour to prepare. Because when that moment comes, it's final. It's final. You can't do anything about it. The house you are trying to build, the position you are trying to acquire, the woman you are trying to marry, all those things will be gone. Mean nothing. Now, for the person who goes away, all they are going to have is rapturous, unspeakable joy. They will not be thinking of all these other things. In the book of Genesis chapter 5, we begin to read about Enoch. You know, from like verse 21, 22 and so forth. You say, Enoch, when he began to be about 65 years of age, he began to seek after the Lord and saw the Lord for 300 years. And then he was taken. But during those time, he had wives. Can you give me Genesis chapter 5, verse 22? He had a wife. He had sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God. You know, he was 65 when he had Methuselah. And then after that, for 300 years, he walked with God. He got sons and daughters. The moment that Enoch was translated, though, read the next verse. Give me the next verse. Verse 23 and verse 24. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. Then verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Hebrews chapter 11, you know, talks to us about Enoch. In verse 5, he says, Enoch was translated that he should not see there. But without, you know, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, when Enoch was translated, his wife and his children didn't matter. Hello? He had wife, sons, and daughters. He was living like us, you know. I mean, we have these things that we care about and so on. So there's nothing wrong with that. He was doing the same thing. You know, he had raising children, had a wife, had this thing. Maybe he had some business or whatever he was doing. But none of that mattered that day he was translated. He wasn't even thinking about wife. He wasn't thinking about sons and daughters. He was gone. Just gone like that. And in his presence, there is no wife. There is no sons and daughters. Every one of us shall stand before God as an individual. It won't be my father, my mother, my brother, my wife even, or my husband. No. Now, if it is your wife or your husband that's going to make you miss it, be careful now. Because once it happens, there will be no plea, no argument, no begging, no bargaining with God. You cannot bargain. It's final, it's decisive, it's finished. And it's precise. One will be taken and another left. It'll be precise. Wow. Now,
Let me tell you some things that will not save anybody for that, or make anybody make that rich, rapture. Outward religion. That's not going to help anybody. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, you know, but denying the power thereof. It come to church. It can even be GMI church. God forbid. But it can be, you know, can be coming to GMI church all the time. But that's not going to save anybody. That it'll be final. It'll be decisive. And that's it. And then, for those that did not make it, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, you know, God will reveal the secret things of the heart. the things that we talked away without repentance, you know, those things, those things will be revealed. Secret sins, lukewarm living, double lives, all these type of things. Those are the things that are going to make people miss this thing. And then it'll be too late. You can't do anything about it then. Now, the rapture will also show, as part of this separation and decisiveness, it will reveal who truly was following Christ. You know, because those that are left behind, you know, I watched a movie some time ago, and I rewatched some part of it this last week as I was thinking about this message called Left Behind. You know, I watched the original one. There are some new ones today that they put all kinds of drama into it. But I watched it. And I watched it again, and I saw where a pastor was left behind. Now, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. And some family members that were left behind. And it was a movie, it was a dramatization, but it captured the moment. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. At first, there was, you know, denial. You know, there are people who didn't know they are looking. It's just like Elijah. Now, Elijah is a different kind of translation or subject of translation. Enoch is the one that we should really be looking about for the rapture. Because Enoch was a type of the raptured saints that would go in the translation before the great tribulation. Elijah was a type of great tribulation saints. Because Elijah is coming back in the great tribulation. Read it in Revelation chapter 11. Now these two men have never died. One of them will die. Elijah will. Enoch will never die. God put him as a witness that there will be some people who will never die. Some people don't think so. They say, oh, we shall all die. No, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's what Paul said. That's the scripture. Don't be saying we shall all die. The Bible doesn't say that. If you say that, that's contrary. The Bible doesn't say we shall all die. No, so as a man called Enoch, till this day, he's still alive. He never died. And God took him so that he will not see death. That wasn't said about Elijah. We're not told that Elijah was translated so that he will not see death. We're not told that. It was translated. Quite all right. But Enoch was translated so that he will not see death. And that's a sign. God put it out there. Now, in the time of Enoch, nobody knew. He himself did not know. He was just pursuing God. I've got to figure this thing out myself. He would ask Adam, what are those cherubims or whatever with those swords that are going like? I say, don't go near. They are keeping the way of the tree of life. But why? Why can't we go there? Son, it's over. You know, God drove us out. But why? You know how you don't ask so many questions. Why did he drive you out? He said, well, this and this and this. He said, but why? Like 20 questions.
this and this. Did you? I mean, so you mean we can't go back in there?
Adam told some more stories.
You mean we had all, you had all that power? You could talk to animals. You could do all these things.
We go under the sea even. I mean, you were always with God. God was with you. God even asked you things, what you wanted to do. He said, yeah. He said, you can't, we can't have that anymore. I said, no, son, it's over.
He said, but why?
And he said, look, God told us in the day we do this thing, we shall die.
He said, but you are not dead yet.
But you are not dead yet. He said, well, we are waiting to die. He said, we are waiting to die. So all of us, we just wait around to die. That's all. Did you even ask God for forgiveness? You know, they didn't have any concept of forgiveness back then. Whatever the Lord said, yeah, just take it. You know,
did you even ask God for forgiveness?
Said, no. Said, well, I'm going in that place. Son, told you, stay away from it. You won't even get close.
Said, well,
okay. If I cannot get in there, whatever is in there is coming to me. I'm going to figure it out one way or another, how to get that tree of life. Hallelujah. Because that's the thing that was intriguing to Enoch. I mean, what? We cannot get that tree of life. Did you eat that tree of life? I said, no. So we're not just going to sit around and die. Said,
we can't get close. It's too late.
The man said, we'll see about that. I'm going to figure this thing out. And it took him 300 years, but he was figuring it out. And as he was figuring it out along the way, see, the closer, see, God is a God. Thou verily art a God, like, that hideth thyself. You know, I think that's Isaiah 45 and 15. God likes to hide himself. He wants you to pursue. This man comes to pursue. You know, as he was pursuing, I said, yeah, you know, yeah, that's cool. You know, that's cool. He was pursuing. And then revelation begin to come to this man.
Revelation.
Wow. The closer he was getting towards that light, and the farther he was getting away from the darkness and death that Adam was prophesying over everybody else, the man said, no, they're pushing towards this thing. Revelation started to come. In the book of Job, verse 14, we're told that Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, prophesying about Christ. How in the world did Enoch know about Christ? There was no Christ. There were not even, I don't even think there were 200 people in the world at that time. How did he know that Christ is coming with 10,000 of his saints? Revelation, you know, as he began to get closer to God, God was bringing him revelation, was getting things, understanding things. You know, but one thing he knew that is, look, I must keep pursuing. I've got to become light like him. I must expunge all the darkness. I got to get away from that. And it didn't matter if anybody else was following him, even his wife or children, it didn't matter. He was pursuing. Pursuing. And as he was being changed and being changed and being changed and being changed, getting closer, one day, just think about it. There was an explosion. It was like the man just completely into light. And it was infused. It's like the light of destiny just pulled him in. And the man was gone. There was no mention of wife, child, whatever anymore. Gone! People were looking for him. Gone! Now, Elijah's story is more dramatic. There are a lot of things said about Elijah. Very little said about Enoch. That's the reason why he's a type. You know, Elijah, almost everybody knew that he was going to be translated. Kind of like tribulation says. The time of the coming of the Lord in the tribulation, you can almost calculate it. You can almost calculate it. Because there are some prophecies that are based on an event trigger. When this happens, from that time, for 3.5 years, you can calculate. But I don't want to be around to calculate. Praise the Lord. So they knew, everybody knew, Elijah knew, Elisha knew, the sons of the prophets, they knew. Everybody knew. was not a secret. You know, but they still tried to explain it away, even when it was translated. Now, I don't want to be among those who will be calculating, you know, after the rapture. The people can calculate, but you can calculate at that time. Right now, you can prepare and not need any calculation, you know. Now, Jesus said in that moment, don't even come down if you are in the staircase or if you are here, Luke 17 and 31. Don't even, you know, don't look. This thing will be final. There won't be time to say, I got to pack my bags. I need to call my husband. I need to call my wife. I need to call my children. No! It's every man for himself. At that point in time, you cannot. The only thing that you can pray and hope and trust is that you have instilled in your children the knowledge of God, that they also will be there. But you are not going to know until you are there. In that moment, no, you can't call anybody. It's decisive, it's final. That's it. And then you say, wow, houses, cars, you want my estate? You can have it. Cousy, house, job, title, position as pastor, all these things will mean nothing. Nothing. If you don't make it, if you make it, it still will mean nothing, because now you are in rapturous joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. Then will be come to pass the saying of Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou will show me the path of life. This is it. The rapture is the gateway finally to that life. And in his presence, when you get there, there's fullness of joy. You will not think of anything. There'll be no sorrow. None of that stuff. You know, and even things that will make you sorrowful, God will wipe away those tears. That will make you sorrowful is, if you remember that somebody that you love didn't make it, that would have made you sorrowful. God said, I will wipe away their sorrow. That's the way. You know that medicine today, some people might find this hard to believe. You know, when they put people to sleep today, anesthesia, some memory drugs in there, and so forth. You know, science can do those things. Take your memory away for a little bit. God says, I will wipe away those sorrowful things. Hallelujah. In his presence, the fullness of joy. You know, either your loved ones will be all saved, and I pray they will all be saved, or you won't remember it. You know, God said, I will wipe away their sorrows. He knows how to fix it too, because he is the Lord. But the important thing is this: give them the word of God now. And you yourself take the word of God. I myself, I must take the word of God now. Now, relationships will not delay the rapture. I must marry. You know, in the 70s, when some people heard that the Lord was coming, they said, no, I got to marry first. I myself want to enjoy. I need a wife. We're talking about the Lord is coming. So they said, no, I've got to marry. Okay, well, I'm married now. And then they married. Well, many of them, after they married, then their eyes cleared. It's like they now woke up. Wow. You know, you and your wife better repent, you know, because time is going. You know, every one of us, Romans chapter 14, verse 12, we give account of himself to God. Now, God was even saying that you can't save anybody. He said, Noah, Daniel, and Job, they can't save anybody. This is found in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 20. He said, look, even though Daniel is there, you know how Daniel used to pray, supplication prayer for everybody, put himself inside. Job was a man so righteous and everything. God was testifying of him. No, I mean, you know, who's the other one? You know, Daniel, Noah, all these people. You know, say, look, that time, you can't save anybody. You save yourself only, you know. Say, though Noah, Daniel, Job, and everybody, they cannot said the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. It's at that time. No. The time to deliver them is now. Ensure right now that they are saturated in the will and the word of God. Do all you can. Because at that time, you cannot grab your daughter or your son along. He said, you can deliver only your own soul by your own righteousness. That's it. Noah in that time, he saved everybody that was in his house. He even saved a lot of animals. This time around, God said, even Noah cannot save anybody.
Yeah.
Daniel, he prayed for a whole generation. God said, this time around, Daniel cannot save anybody. You know, Daniel saved a lot of people. There was a time they wanted to kill everybody. Daniel saved all those wise men. But this time around, Daniel, even if he's there, he cannot save anybody. It's every man for himself. Jesus said, strive to enter in. You know, because look, it's every man for himself. Now, the rapture will silence every argument against holiness. When God said, be ye holy as I am holy. And people say, well, it doesn't matter. You do whatever. Okay, fine. The rapture will silence that. It will just silence it. That's it. You know, you can do anything you want now. You know, the Bible was even telling, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, all this, and telling these children, say, look, do anything you want right now, but remember, God will hold you accountable. Look, the rapture will silence argument about the holy God. People have said, well, God can do this, God can do that. Fine. Don't find out if God can do it. I don't want to be the one to find out. You say, well, God's a holy God, God's a loving God, this and that. Well, the reason why he's holy is why he will execute righteousness and judgment. But that's what a holy God does. You know. So, ladies and gentlemen, compromises that we have made will be exposed. The pastor that compromised his life when he was there, you know, he was exposed. You know, after everybody left and he was there, found out that he was living a life of compromise. And then, wow. Nothing else mattered at that time. You know, the Bible says that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. It's settled. You can't argue it. You can't debate it. You may be arguing and debating it now, but in that moment, the Bible said, let him that is holy be holy still. Let him that is righteous. There's a time that God draws the line. And then that day comes. He that is holy is holy. He that is unrighteous is unrighteous. That's it. You can't do anything about it. It's done. This is the time for preparation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the rapture, on the other hand, though, will reward every sacrifice that you made for Christ. That's right. Every sacrifice. That's why the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. The sacrifices that you are making today for Christ will be rewarded at the rapture. Hallelujah. And thereafter, you know, when Jesus said, come, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25 and 34 says, come and enter into the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the world began. There will be a reward. Now, some of you that are doing what it is that God called you to do, you know, and God put in your heart for you to do, and you are doing it faithfully, there will be a reward. Who then is that wise and faithful servant? Whom his Lord has appointed to give meat, you know, to his household. Blessed is that servant, whom when the Lord shall come, shall find him so doing. He said, look, the master will reward him. But if that servant shall say, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to say, it doesn't matter, all of these things and so forth, since the time, you know, the fathers has, you know, all they have been telling us, the Lord is coming, everything remains the same. Well, the Lord of that servant will come in an hour that is not looking for him. and he will cut him asunder, and he will appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow.
All the things that we hold very dear, they will not matter. But the things that you held because of Christ, those will matter. The way to give away and the way to put anything in the kingdom of God is to give it away. Jesus said, if you give away your life for my sake, you'll get it back. But if you hold on to it, you will lose it. He said, look, don't put your even your treasure in things that will perish. The only way to guarantee that this treasure makes it out of here is for you to give it to God now. You know, and Jesus said all so many similar things throughout the scriptures, you know. Now, there will be many, you know, that will be rewarded. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, he says, many, those that turn many to righteousness shall shine forever. You know, you are turning people to righteousness. You yourself, you are turning to righteousness. You will shine forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. You know. So, that every act of obedience will be remembered. Just like act of disobedience will be remembered. Act of obedience. Sacrifices that you've made. Times that you have to give something up. Jesus said, there is not a man that will give anything up for me, but shall be rewarded. You give anything up for the Lord. The times that Holy Ghost woke you up in the middle of the night and you didn't feel like it, but you got up anyway to pray because Holy Ghost said so, it will be rewarded. Hallelujah. The time that Holy Ghost said, go preach to that person, you didn't feel like it, you know, maybe they messed you up before in the past, but you obeyed, it will be rewarded. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost said, forgive that person, and you said, no, I cannot forgive. I can never. Well, it will be decisive. And the day when such a thing happens that you find yourself, God forbid, I'm not just speaking to people in this church here. This message is going out. So if you find yourself that you didn't make it, my goodness, that unforgiveness that you are holding up to will not matter. Be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wish I'd forgiven. Well, be too late. The rapture will close the door for salvation by grace and all of that things. You know, those, you know, so be prepared. All that is holy will be holy still. You know. Now, during the Great Tribulation, people will even want to die and death will flee from them. You know, and so on and so forth. So, be prepared. Many will be shocked, you know, because there will be, people will be disappointed. I'd be shocked. I mean, disappointment is not the word. I can't find the word. People will be shocked, you know. The time that we assumed we always had was gone. See, the loss, the pain of the thing that Holy Spirit told you to do, that God told you to do, that you put off. See, that thing you put off, that the Holy Spirit was telling you, that's where the pain, the weeping, and the gnashing of teeth will come. Say, wow. That which you thought you would do, but you never did. For the Lord, see, it'll be too late. This is now the time. But your tears of faith, every time you prayed for the lost, every time you went out of your way to give a word, to bring somebody in, those things will be rewarded, said the Lord. Hallelujah. They will be rewarded. You know. Now, the foolish virgins, you know, they lamented. What must we then do? You know, what must we do? How must we prepare? So I'm going to close this up now. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, if you have this hope,
of this rapture in yourself. You know, right? If we have this hope in ourselves, go on to the next verse. You know, our hope is that when he appears, we'll be like him and so on. We'll see, we'll be with him. Well, if you have this hope in yourself, then we have to purify ourselves. This is the time for purification, ladies and gentlemen. We must purify ourselves. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, you must purify yourself both in the flesh and even in the spirit, having therefore precious beloved brethren these great and exceeding promises, such as Christ is coming again. Well, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21, you know, from verse 14, 19 begins to tell you that, look, in a great house, it talks about the foundation of the Lord standing sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. It's a two-way covenant. God knows those are his, and you, on your side, if you name the name of the Lord, you better depart from iniquity. It's two ways. God knows them that are his, and those that name the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. You can't say, I'm the child of God, and you continue iniquity. That's not going to work. You know, so, in a great house, there are many vessels. Someone to honor, someone to dishonor. But if you want to be the masters, for the master's use now, see, it's not when we get to heaven that we're going to do something for the Lord. It's now. The rapture takes place, it's final. It's over. Can't do anything more. You can't pray anymore. You can't win souls anymore. You can't do whatever anymore. It's over. Now is the time to do it. Praise the Lord. Leave and be ready. You know, Luke chapter 12 verse 40 says, be ready, for the Son of Man comes unexpectedly. Woo. My goodness. For those that love his appearing, you are loving it. You are loving his appearing. You are thinking about it. Thinking when my Lord shall come again. I'm thinking when my Lord shall come. I am thinking when my Lord shall come again. I wonder how that day shall be. If you are thinking about it and you are living it every moment, God will make sure that you don't miss it. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to do it. Jesus said, I will lose none of them. And the Holy Spirit will make sure. That's his job. He will make sure. See, that's what he's doing today. Part of the work of the Holy Spirit is this message today. Telling you, quicken your pace. Redeem the time. Get ready. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll be doing all of that to bring us to the place. And if the Holy Spirit does it so many times, and after a while you don't listen, then his Holy Spirit is grieved. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Because he's trying to bring you there and he will get you there. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will get us there. Now, every day we must press toward the mark. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Press toward the mark. Live a surrendered life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. You know, we must live a surrender life. Put your body as a living sacrifice. If you are listening to me today and this thing is going over your head, you know, and say, what is he talking about? You need Jesus. You know, you need Jesus. And if you don't know that you need Jesus, then you cannot be saved. Nobody can be saved if they don't realize that they need a savior. Can't do it. You cannot be saved. The holiness of God. See, the holiness of God, when that is revealed to you, it makes you realize that you need cleansing. I was teaching this on our Walking with God platform today. Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah was hearing about God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy. That's all the seraphims were saying. Ah! Then he realized that he himself is a goner.
I am finished. I'm a man of unclean lips. I also need to be able to see his holiness. And then he prayed. And God answered him and helped him. Cleanse my lips, O God. My lips are unclean. Well, it could be your heart that's unclean. It could be your hands that's unclean. It could be your lips. It could be whatever. You know, when the holiness of God is revealed, you know, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, his holiness is revealed from generation to generation. This is the time for us to say, ah, we need to live as if Jesus could come today because he can. We need to live, you know, as if Jesus is coming because he is. You know, we need to live as if nothing else matters today because nothing else will. See? Nothing else will. The man that makes it is gone. All he's thinking about is glorious joy. The people that are left behind, they are weeping and gnashing for their teeth and regret that they could have made it too. See? So in closing, you know, Jesus said, watch ye therefore and pray always. Luke 21:36. That you may be counted worthy to escape. Not only escape, you know, the rapture is God's evacuation plan. You know, when there is coming tornado, this and that and so forth, and they want to evacuate the city, the mayor or whoever will give, you know, this is God's evacuation plan. Yeah, you know, and you know, unfortunately, on the day it happens, there will be no warning on that day. The warning is now. Tornado warning is now. If you wait until the tornado strikes before you do the warning, it's too late. People's lives are already destroyed. Massive number of people. So they give early warning system. Give ahead of time. These are the early warning systems. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, and I speak not only to those who are physically present today, I speak to anyone that will hear this. You need a savior. You need Christ. You can't do it without him. And if you think you don't need him, then he cannot save you. Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous. I came to call sinners unto repentance. You know, a sinner, in order to be saved, must recognize that they are a sinner. That's right. That is what the law came to make our sin nature even more sinful, so that we can know that we need a savior. Praise the Lord. And if you are already a believer, then there is one call today for you. It's a call to righteousness. Awake! Ephesians 5:14. And thou that sleepest, awake to righteousness, and Christ will give you life. Arise from the dead. You know, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, you know, it started with sleep. All of a sudden, they were dead. See how he put it? Thou that sleepest, you were sleeping at first, now they are even dead. See, started with sleeping, a little, it doesn't matter. See, a little, it doesn't matter. We lead not only to deep slumber, but spiritual deadness. Now is the time to awake, and Christ will give you light. Now, this message is not about fear. You say, I'm not going to make it. You will make it. That's right. You know, because Jesus said, I will lose none of them. See, the confidence that I have is not because of anything. It's because of what Jesus said. He said, I will lose none of them. All that the Father has given me shall come to me, and I will lose none of them. And no one can pluck them out of my Father's hands. John 10:27. There is nobody. See, you are the only one that's going to have to walk away from him. You have to walk away from the Lord. He's married even to the backslider. He's there for you. Praise the Lord. Today, rather than walk away, come unto the Lord. Hosea 6:1 says, come. And let us return unto the Lord. You have to return. You know, today we are going to pray a prayer of repentance.
Repentant. Not the repentant that say, I'm sorry. That's how we pray today. We say, we are sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. No. God said, rend your hearts. That's right. There must be something that pierces your soul. This message should pierce your heart. I say, wake me up, Lord. You know, and say, Lord, you know, I'm coming back. Prodigal son said, Lord, Father, I'm coming back. Today, you got to say, I'm coming back. Now, if there's anybody here today or listening that has not known what real salvation is, first thing is this. You must recognize that you are a sinner. If you don't know that you are a sinner, then God cannot help you. Now, that's not for the believers. God doesn't call believers sinners anymore. But until you cross that point where God cannot call you a child of God, you are a sinner. When you've come into that grace and God calls you now saints rather than sinners, well, we still need to repent. Because every one of us is going about our own ways, doing our own thing, forgetting the warnings of the Lord. Amend your ways, said the Lord. Amend your ways. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 1. Amend your ways. Amend your ways. Say, stand in the gates of the Lord's house, you know, and tell them, everyone that come in here and worship at these gates. This is for you, GMI Church. And this is for every believer. Come back and amend your ways. The ways that we have been following the world and all the things we are chasing. No. Praise the Lord. If I had more time, I would tell you more. But we are out of time. And we are going to pray. I want us to stand to our feet. If this message touched your heart in any way, I want you to pray. If you need salvation, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come out here today. Let me pray the prayer of faith for you. That's right. You say, well, I've been going to church. Church is not going to save you. On that day, it's final. It's finished. It's over. And if you are listening, either Facebook, YouTube, internet, whatever, the same call is going to you today. Come now, quickly. Jesus said, come unto me. And I come. Praise the Lord. And every time we make these altar calls in a church, nobody comes. Because it's like, well, they say, I'm a believer. Why should I come? You know, there is a call for repentance today. I'm not calling for you to be saved. I'm calling for repentance. That's a call for repentance. Many of us, we're going about our ways. We have our hearts pursuing the things of the world. We couldn't care anything about God, you know, and so forth. Jesus said, these are the same things that unbelievers are chasing. You are chasing it. Even those of us who can speak in tongues, we're using speaking in tongues to pray for the same things that unbelievers are praying for. You know, we speak in tongues for hours. What are you praying for? Praying that I should have my next car, my next vacation, my next house, my next this, my next promotion. Those things will mean nothing. All these things, the fashion of this world passeth away. All these things will mean nothing. When the rapture takes place, when that clock strikes, it will mean nothing. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I want everybody with a true heart of repentance today. If my people who are called by my name, and it starts by you humbling yourself. You say, well, I'm this and that. God can help you. But you have to humble yourself. Let my people humble themselves. Let them pray. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Let them seek my face. Let them turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Your wickedness, all your callousness, everything, where the things of the world mean more to you than God. Those are wickedness. He said, my people must turn from their wicked ways. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to do it even in this church today.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to come down here. We are calling for repentance today. If you say, Lord, help me, I want you to join me here in prayer. I don't want to know, and the Lord doesn't care how long we've been saved. You know, this is a call to repentance and a call to awakening. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The Lord says, and he reminds you that when the rapture takes place, it's going to be too late. We have an opportunity today to make sure it's not too late. If you are in the house and you say, Lord, I want to know that I'm on the track. My hearts have gone here and there and there and there. I'm coming back home, coming to you, Lord. I want to be ready. Ye also ready. When an hour that you think, I want you to join me here in prayer. And I'm going to pray that God will oversee your heart. You come out here, pray and surrender to Jesus today. He's going to make sure that you are there. On that day, when you say, come up hither, it'll be final, it'll be decisive, and it will be a separation. I pray for everyone that hear the voice of God today. And those of us that say, I'm a believer, but we have been disobedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now is the time to repent. There's an hour of grace here today for you to repent. We must repent. And if you have this hope in yourself, you must cleanse yourself from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that you cleanse us. Help us, O Lord, even as we pray today. I want you to come. Because I am without one peace. But thy blood was shed for me.
Amen.
They come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. I want you to put that song up for me, just as I am. Put that song up for me, just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, our Lord, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. There should be no soul that leaves this place today with a burden of sin still on your back. Lay it at the cross today. Let the Lord take that burden of sin away. And if you don't, I am guilty of all blood here today. I've declared unto you the words of the Lord. Awake to righteousness. Awake from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Sing it again. Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for. Now you don't want to be left behind. And thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you, Lord, praise. We pray for everyone that has come in the name of Jesus. This man came today. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord, because the man came. Somebody came to the Lord. You got to be more happy than that. There is joy in heaven over sin. Now put your hands to the Lord in the name of Jesus. One more time. I am without. Father has given me shall come to me, and whosoever shall come to me, the Lord said, I will in no wise cast out. Those that came to the Lord today, he will in no wise cast you out. Praise the Lord.